Here's the latest from Canadian lawyer, Law Times and Lexpert on September 1st, 2023. I'm Steve Randall. Canadian lawyer spoke with Julie Lessard about how she found a niche in business immigration by launching her own firm.
I think that if I look at it today, I would be scared to death. But at the time, you know, when you're starting and you have nothing to lose. So I don't know why, but I wasn't scared. It was super hard at the very beginning because, I mean, you have no client. You have to build your own clientele. You have no specific expertise because you're building it, like, with cases that you have. You have no one like to teach you how to do things. Like, you have to trust yourself and you have to be like quite open with your clients. The first client I worked with was Cascade, and you know, that was a huge organization, but they knew that I was learning with them, but they trusted me. Like, so it helped a lot. Like, so it brought experience, it brought like knowledge, but in all, trust with the client.
Lessard joined regional firm BCF in 2007. She spoke about how her practice grew when she joined the larger firm and how she's pushing for improvements to immigration laws through her volunteer work with several organizations.
I want to be an expert. Yes, I want to keep growing as a partner, but I really feel like the need, like the urge to also be active. You know, I have an opinion on what's happening in immigration laws and regulations, and I want to be able, like, to speak it out and try to change things. I think I'm going back, like, to my first day of, like, trying to change the world to humanitarian immigration. Now I want to change things and make sure that Canada is going in the right direction, like, to attract immigrants and keep them.
Joel Roy joined Novartis in May 2021. He brought valuable qualities as a change agent with a passion for innovation, which has greatly benefited the legal department at the firm.
Legal operations was not something that was heard or discussed within the Novartis legal team before I joined. So when I joined, I felt like there was a gap there. And since we were really, really busy, I said, hey, maybe we can streamline and simplify. You think of these massive corporations as being very set in their ways and sort of stuck in time and not very adaptable or dynamic. But in fact, you know, there's a lot of room to experiment, and people are always happy because of that stigma. They're always happy to go after the next idea and help people try to realize new things with it themselves, right? So that's kind of the way I built it.
The case of a $5,000 award to an 88-year-old Vancouver man bitten by a Yorkshire Terrier highlights the limits of litigation, says animal law practitioner Victoria Schroff. The advocate for animals notes that the case also is a cautionary message that small dogs don't get a free pass, and all pet owners need to be responsible for their pets' behaviour and having them properly socialised. Schroff says that in cases of minor dog bites with no lasting damage, coming to a non-court solution can be a benefit for all involved, especially if part of that solution involves socialisation training and steps towards more responsible pet ownership.
Most of these cases do not require a lawsuit. They require calm, cool reasoning, and then to be able to see what's in the best interest of everybody, because there's a way to make everybody happy in these cases.
A case before the Ontario Labour Relations Board is examining whether paralegals, like lawyers, are exempt from the vacation pay provisions in the Employment Standards Act. The dispute is between Sam Firu Tamarkin LLP, the employment, disability and personal injury firm, and a paralegal the firm terminated, named Leanne Bialy. The Labour Relations Board is hearing the firm's appeal of a decision from an employment standards officer at the Provincial Labour Ministry, which found that paralegals are not captured by the exemption and are not entitled to vacation pay under Section 35(2) of the ESA. In addition to finding Bialy was not exempt from the ESA's vacation pay entitlements, the employment standards officer found that the firm terminated her as a reprisal for hiring her own lawyer and raising the issue with the firm. Bialy's lawyer says that there could be many law firms unlawfully denying paralegals vacation pay. Samfiru Tamarkin's position is that paralegals are educated, regulated and insured, and the proper interpretation of the section of the regulations dealing with the issue is that both lawyers and paralegals are exempt. The firm's co-founder and national co-managing partner, Leo Samfiru, notes that the regulations exemption does not say lawyers or paralegals, but uses the term qualified practitioners of law. He says it's interesting that paralegals do not qualify for the exemption, but articling students do. The Alberta Court of King's Bench has denied a biological father's application for guardianship of a child, citing the child's best interests. The biological father of a four-year-old child has filed an application for guardianship of the child, parenting and contact time with the child, and amending the child's birth certificate to reflect the father's surname. Since birth, the child has resided exclusively with the mother and her partner. The child believed that her mother's partner was her father. She has never met her biological father. The mother opposed the father's application, arguing that the child was born due to the father having sexually assaulted her. As a result, she contended that the father is not eligible to be the child's guardian. However, the court found that the mother's bare assertion that she was the subject of non-consensual sexual touching was met with the father's bare denial. The court found both parties equally credible. The mother failed to provide sufficient evidence for the court to prefer her version of events over the father's. Consequently, the court ruled that the mother had not established, on a balance of probabilities, that the child was born due to sexual assault. After carefully reviewing the evidence, the court found that the mother, her partner, and his family provided the child with a loving, supportive, and stable family environment. The court accepted the mother's evidence that appointing the father as the child's guardian would unnecessarily complicate decision-making that does not serve the child's best interests. You'll find the links to these stories in the show notes, and to get the latest CL Talk episodes automatically in your favourite podcast app, just click follow or subscribe.